When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Sarah.
This is Jenna. We're from Name Three Songs, and today we're getting candid with the Vices. They are a four-piece rock band from the Netherlands, and we personally had the honor of accidentally stumbling upon them during South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. It was a very classic South by moment in which they were playing in... They're playing at a bar that had like a front yard patio situation, so we were just walking on the street and walked by them, and we're like, this is for us. We need to go investigate. And the funny thing was, one of the members had like a passport situation and he wasn't even there. So we saw three of the members perform and were blown away.
Yeah.
And so then, very conveniently, when I was in New York, they were also in New York. So we got to interview them in person and see them as a four piece. So it's kind of a beautiful story, but they are just the coolest, weirdest guys that are making very good music. They're very talented. And to just give you some more information about them, as I mentioned, they're from the Netherlands, formed in 2019. They had their second album, Unknown Affairs, come out early last year. It reached over 1.5 million streams within a month. Their first show ever as a band together was supporting Youngblood. They've since toured with Nothing But Thieves. They've opened stadium shows in Europe. And they even have hosted their own festival called Vice Fest in multiple cities across Europe.
So we're getting candid with Floris and Simon from The Vices about the importance of performing live and learning how to replicate that energy in a studio. We also talked to them about their influences of rock music across the decades and why that helped in their decision to sing their songs in English, even though they're first language is Dutch. Plus, we talked to them about how they recorded a live performance of their debut album on a boat during COVID, just to, like, do something crazy, and how they built their own music festival with bands from around the world to just share what they love with their fans and music listeners. And so with all of that, let's go get candid with The Vices.
All right, we are here in New York at Baby's All Right. Whoa! With The Vices. How are you guys feeling?
We're doing good. We're doing good. A bit tired, but good.
Yes. Can you say your name and what you do in the band?
Hi, I'm Simon. I'm the bassist.
My name is Floris, and I sing and play guitar.
Love it. Love it. So y'all just performed at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. This was a few weeks ago. You've since been running around the U.S. in New York tonight. You have a few more tour dates after this. How has it been for you guys?
It's been really cool. This is our first U.S. tour ever. We went to New York and Austin before, but not that. Those are two festivals. This is the first time that we're doing a headline show. So these are all places where we've never been. We've never seen them.
That's cool.
And it's sick to see people show up everywhere. It's sick to see all the surroundings and all the... There is one crazy guy every day, right?
Yeah, every day.
The same one?
No, it's a different one in every town. And we can't repeat what he said because that's swearing.
Yeah. I wanted to do it. It's pretty cool because you drive like... Chicago, we didn't saw Chicago, but we played there.
Yeah.
And you drove through it.
Yeah.
So that's amazing to see like behind your window, see everything. It's cool. Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah.
And I noticed that for most of these shows, you've had like local bands playing support for you guys, which is very cool. Was that like something that you had thought of beforehand or just something that happened by luck?
No, we wanted to do that. And we asked, so the promoter who organized the tour and all the local promoters and the agents who organized the tour, I mean, he and they send us all kinds of different bands from all the cities.
So you got to pick and choose a little bit.
Yeah, we have been driving in a car during our European tours. We've just been listening to a lot of bands.
That's so cool.
And
that's so fun.
We could choose them. That was cool.
That's really awesome.
Cool. That's really cool. Have you gotten to speak to and get to know these bands at all? But like,
yeah, of course.
Them?
Everyone. Yeah.
So do you feel like there's been kind of like that cultural exchange that happens kind of at South By where everybody's like internationally playing, like spreading on to your tour from there?
We keep a list with so many people that we met. Because it's so much.
A spreadsheet of names and faces on Instagram.
So much, yeah.
I do that too.
Yeah?
I mean, I feel like it's a fun way to come to America to be able to tour, but also to make friends along the way and meet new people and do beyond just a tour, you know?
Yeah. And you can learn. Like, when we played in San Francisco, and that was the Milk for the Angry, that band.
Yeah.
And it's you can also learn a lot from different bands. Like, that was a band that I thought really fit in the West Coast area.
Yeah.
And the way he played a guitar, I didn't see that really live.
Oh, yeah.
So I could learn a lot from them, and that was cool.
Do you have a Spotify of all the bands you've played with? Can we have it?
No, we don't have a Spotify list, but that's a good idea.
Give us your American tour.
Yo, we got a newsletter. We call it The Vices Times. We're in New York now, so it fits. Yeah. But we do playlists and all in that.
Yeah.
So we should do that in The Vices
Times.
Yes,
yeah. Wow. Please do.
We expect a shout out.
You can pay us $5 million.
Will do.
So you released your debut album in 2021. This was recorded entirely live on a boat. Is that true?
Well, also, like, okay, so the album isn't.
Okay.
But then we couldn't release, we couldn't do the release show of the album.
Okay.
So we had to think of something else. So then we took a boat and got it out on the sea. Then we waited for low tide so the boat would fall dry on the seabed.
Okay.
And then we built a studio on the boat and recorded it again, but then live with drones flying around it and just like a live registration of the entire album on a boat. That's what it
crazy.
Is.
This is crazy. Wait, so did all this happen in like 24 hours or was like over a period of days?
The recording?
Yeah. Well, like you said, if you waited for low tide, did you have like a certain window
of
time?
You did it in a couple hours.
Yeah, 8 hours, I think.
Yeah. Because I was like, that's what I was assuming, because otherwise the tide would come back and then the boat would
move. The tide got low. When it started getting low, we started building up.
Yeah.
Then a huge storm came by, so we had to put sheets, covers over everything.
Ourselves.
We were just standing there in the cold. And then after a while, we thought, okay, this is not going to happen anymore. And then it cleared up. And then we had like an hour or something until like the tide would come up again.
Yeah.
So then we started recording real quick. Then the first time we totally stopped. So we stopped and we did it again. And that second time, that was great.
Yeah, you see like the tide is coming up like half of the show. So that's amazing.
There's a video of it on YouTube.
No, we watched it yesterday.
Oh, that's it.
We needed the details.
We were trying to figure it out because the album kind of... Did you guys also do like live recording for the studio album too? Or no? Because it sounds like really different than your most recent record. Like,
it sounds very different, yeah. But it was, I think, most of it was bass and drums recorded together.
Okay.
And then doing guitar and vocal overdubs. Yeah. That was most of it back then. But that was a very quick... way quicker progress than with the second record, I think.
Yeah, because we were listening, we were like trying to figure it out. Because like, it sounds kind of live. I don't know.
Well, the first one is a live.
Because you had like two interviews in English, so we're just like trying to figure out
like,
what's happening here. We're trying to figure it out ourselves.
Okay, but so your second album, Unknown Affairs, it came out about a year ago in March. You just mentioned the process was very different. In what way did you approach that one differently?
It was different because we don't want to do anything twice. So the first record indeed was more live.
Yeah.
And you played a lot together with Matthew. Well, the second you did that too, taping together. Yeah. The sound went into a very different direction, yeah.
Yeah, sound-wise was very different.
The first one got the live feel, the second one had a way more thought out studio sound.
Yeah.
And it was way more, everything was way more compact. It's hard to get that live, so it goes away from the live sound when you make everything very compact and direct.
Right.
And that's what that record had a lot. So it was a sound choice. It was not necessarily, okay, now let's make a live sounding record and now let's make a non-sound live sounding record. But the sonic choices did push it in that direction. Yeah, but it wasn't because of like, let's not make a live record or let's make a live record. It's just...
do something different.
Yeah.
And kind of see where you ended up.
When everything would be, on the second we did less. Like everything was less. And that created more space for vocals and for the attention paid to that, to what vocals were saying on all.
Yeah.
Because we were also having the idea to finally say something well. So that was all that, yeah.
Well, I think you can tell just like in the sound and everything of just like where you guys decided to like focus more, I guess would be the right, I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but like you can kind of tell that like the second album maybe was like more focused lyrically, whereas the first album it was more focused on like the music.
Could be, yeah. Well, it's like vocals don't exist without music.
Yeah.
Then it's poetry or something. But it did put more emphasis on the vocals, yeah.
Okay, so I'm kind of curious. So you have two studio albums out right now.
Yeah.
You guys kind of started as a band in 2019.
Yeah.
But how long have you guys, were you playing together before then? Before you were officially the Vices? Let's hear it.
Jonathan, the guy on the keyboards, I knew him when I was six. I played football with him.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Soccer. I think it's called here. Yeah.
Yes.
And we met when we were 12 or something.
Yeah, 12, 13, something like that.
He was kissing a girl, and I was standing next to him, and I was like, ah! And then we thought, yeah, maybe we could.
I was like, who the fuck is that?
This is a beautiful story.
And then we thought we loved both Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay.
So we played
Funkadelic,
and we played like Always On My Attic. And then we met Matthew, the drummer.
Uh-huh.
And then we started Vices.
Well, first we actually played in a when we met each other, like when Matthew came by too, the drummer. Uh-huh. It was when we were like 16 or something, probably 17.
Yeah,
and then we played together for 3 or 4 years. But that was just like musically growing up. Like doing
and
trying to find out what you want to do.
Right.
More punk.
Yeah.
And then when we turned like around our 21st, when we were 21 or something, then we had the feeling, okay, now the music that we've been making lately is different. What should we do with it? And then we decided, let's do it right from the start.
Right.
And then we changed it. Then we started the Vices, but we couldn't do that. Like 2 weeks before our first show, we realized we can't do this live without a fourth member. So then Jonathan came by.
Okay.
So you, Simon,
full circle. Yeah. You found him.
And that was cool actually, because we, like, do you know Youngblood?
Yeah.
Yes.
We our first shows were with him.
And that's then, crazy.
Yeah, that was awesome. But then, and Jonathan had never really played live, and
only in his church.
Only in.
How
fucking,
did this happen?
Only in church.
Only in church.
And then, I gave him a call, and he just hung up. He was like, oh, okay,
he's like, this is a prank.
And then 5 minutes later, he called back like, okay, I was kind of scared, but let's do it.
Yeah, and that's second time we played with Youngblood, also with Youngblood. Then he came like
8 hours
eight
late.
8 hours late, and he was like 5 minutes before showtime.
Oh
he
my
came,
god!
And he missed a
his
train.
His phone
or something.
Died.
Yeah,
oh my
reach
god!
It.
Oh my god!
And he also was late to South by because he didn't have his passwords.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like
a mystery member. Well, okay, so I feel like this makes a lot of sense because I was like, your two albums like sound very put together, and like the music that you're making now, it feels like you very much know like what you want to be doing. So that's why I assumed that you guys had been playing together and known each other for a while before you started as quote unquote the Vices.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We have been playing a long time. Yeah.
Long, long time.
I mean, you can kind of tell from watching your live performance as well, because I feel like there was a lot of like synchronicity going on between like even when it's just the three of you guys when we saw you at South By, and like we were just like standing there being like, wow, this is so impressive, because it felt like a very connected, cohesive unit. And so like for you guys, like, do you think about like the live show artistry and like what you put into it, or are you just kind of like out there feeling the music?
We think about set lists. Like, set lists are important. Set lists flow, or they don't.
Yeah.
And if they don't, like, a live show is an exchange of music, and because of that, like, a live show is like an exchange between, obviously, between audience and people playing on the stage.
Yeah.
And if the set doesn't work or something, or the energy. Attention span in the set doesn't work, then you don't build up that symbiotic thing.
Yeah.
And so that's why a set, I think, is really important. And if you do it right, then it becomes a really, really sick, well, symbiotic experience.
Like
feeding off each other's energy, which builds it up even more.
Yeah.
But I think also it's just like where you guys played at South By.
It was like a 3 p.m. show, like on the, I'm trying to remember what it is. It was kind of like a hard time slot to play because it's like during the middle of the day. Like,
but we saw multiple people like just
walking
in off the side of the street.
So I didn't
just,
saw
like,
that. That was behind the tree.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
Well, we saw it for you. There were people coming in off the street, just being like, "What's happening here?" And it was cool because, like Jenna said, it's like it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and people were just like really into the music. So I'm really excited to see you guys play tonight when it's like a night show. People know what they're coming for. They know what's going on.
But we've played for crowds in between two persons up until 30 or 40,000.
Oh, thousand. Yeah. Back in the Netherlands.
That's
crazy.
But the one thing that we got back from the audience that I thought was cool is that there is no difference. Like, there are differences in how you...
Yeah.
There are some differences, but in the core of it, it's just four friends making music together and enjoying that.
Yeah.
So if it's like at South By, if it's at a weird place or whatever, it's the same.
Yeah. No, I feel like I respect that a lot because there's so many people who like it feels like you playing live is just an extension of like your art and like what you want to be doing. Whereas like some people like have this kind of barrier where they like suddenly don't know how to act on stage. Like if the vibes aren't right, like they're off. But you're like, no, I am bringing the vibes. Like this is important.
Everyone here keeps asking me if I go to the gym and do on yoga.
Yeah, yoga. No, I wish there was like image with this. Then we could do your hips.
Yeah. Do my hips.
You are. It's like we're just like.
I don't sport.
No.
Okay, so you guys already mentioned like Red Hot Chili Peppers was like a big thing for you guys growing up. Historically, there's a lot of rock music that comes out of like America and England, but there's also rock music in Europe. So I'm just curious like what your experience of rock music was when you were growing up.
Yes. A lot of American influences back in the Netherlands. So
I was your father.
And because of my father, but yeah,
is
Jimi
your
Hendrix.
Dad American?
No.
Is your dad a Red Hot Chili Pepper?
He do know a lot about Native American history. So I'm now reading a book about that. But he's a big Jimi Hendrix, Nirvana, Santana fan.
Yeah.
So Woodstock is a big
influence. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's probably why I'm very much into it.
Yeah.
And I think most of punk is becoming England. More England, but the Ramones, they're started
Iggy.
It. Iggy and the Stooges.
And, well, the town that we grew up in is called Groningen. And you got a club called Vera. There is actually a place in Seattle called the Vera Project.
Oh, really?
That's a venue based on the venue in Groningen.
Oh, wow.
That's where
that's crazy.
Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love got engaged too in Groningen.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
But there,
look at that.
Like, there, all the great bands came there. So we could go there and see a lot of great music. So that's how we grew up musically. And
I do think like the engagement of Kurt Cobain.
It's not true?
I think it's true, but I think it's something small in comparison to what's happening all in New York. We have like one thing. Yes.
Yeah, but it's really all of Meet Me in the Echo Parents to like Meet Me in the Bathroom.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's so cool.
But,
part of music history.
Yeah, that's true.
There were a lot of bands. And my dad too. He like Little Richard. That's all America. Little Richard and Howling Wolf. And then I saw the Chili Peppers documentary. So that when I was 9 or 10, then you go to Funkadelic.
Yeah.
Black Keys, The Arcs, Cage the Elephant.
So I mean, it sounds like you've had a lot of influences growing up. But did you feel like playing music and being in a band was like something that was accessible to you? Like you're like, yeah, I can do that. Or you just started playing and then you're like, well, we'll see if anything happens.
I didn't think you could, until I was like 16, I didn't think you could become anything else.
Yeah.
I just wanted that. And then we found each other, luckily.
Yeah.
So then we could start doing
that. What a love story.
Romance. And now we're sleeping in a bed every night.
Yeah.
It is. It's a beautiful love story.
No, but it felt like something, especially like with all these places in our hometown.
Yeah.
We also got the South by Southwest of Europe is in our hometown.
Oh,
it's called
wow.
Eurosonic. With all that, it seemed like something like, okay, we can do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the fact that not
a
lot of famous bands come from the Netherlands, that doesn't matter. Yeah. You got the Golden Earring here. That's Dutch. Golden Earring. Do you know Golden Earring?
And Famke Janssen.
Do you know Radar Love?
The song?
No.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's Dutch.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's Dutch.
Okay, I believe you. Okay, so in speaking of like rock music and a lot of your influences being American and British, we found it really interesting that like bands from Europe will either decide to like sing in English or sometimes sing in their language, but like not really. So for you, in most of your music being, well, all of your music's being in English.
Yeah.
Was there a specific reason why you chose to sing in English? Like, do you think that, well, no, like, other than it being, like, accessible, like, do you think
Dutch
that...
Dutch is an ugly language, I thought.
Yeah, Dutch is very ugly.
Well, not always. Look, Dutch can be, like, in when you write in books or something, there are pretty parts of the language, I think.
Poetry.
Yeah.
I think poetry, and that's...
That's when you read it.
Yeah.
And I think when it's audible...
Yeah.
I don't like in the music that we make, I don't like the sound of that.
Okay,
I do like it when it's like on stage, like comedians or like poetry, and on stage, like people use like some kind beautiful words. I think it's nice. But in songs?
Well, not all. Like you got André Hazes. That's Dutch music.
Blood,
sweat,
and tranen.
I think that can be really beautiful, but not in our kind of music.
At least I don't.
That's personal, but I don't like that. And I don't like expressing myself in Dutch in that kind of music doesn't it doesn't really work.
Okay, yeah.
Interesting.
No, I think that makes sense in a way, because it's like there are bands, for example, that like sing in Italian, like rock music. Like there's a couple bands that we listen to that do that. And it's like the emotion and different things that you can emote through like that language that you couldn't emote in English are like different. And so I completely understand what you're saying, because it's like even the sound of it for people who listen, who might not listen, know the language, it might feel like different. Whereas like, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like just like the sounds like feel different. Yeah.
Like, might also be a subconscious thing that it's just all the music that I loved was in English.
I'm thinking about all the titles. We have like Boy, Jongen, Better Days, Betere Dagen. This is awful.
Strange Again. Raar opnieuw.
Well, I think also if you're saying that like most Dutch music that you do know might be more like national or like a very specific genre of music that's sung in your language.
Yeah,
so
if
you're not used to hearing music other than a very specific genre sung in your home language, like it must be really weird to try and like sing a different
It could be cool. It could be an experiment. If no one did it, it could be cool.
Yeah.
But I think people did it and I don't like it too much.
That's fair.
It makes you awful.
Yeah. How important is storytelling in your lyrics when you're writing music?
When writing, it's just, don't think about all that too much.
Yeah.
It's just, okay, so when I write, it's just, I carry a book with me most of the time and just write in it when something is there.
Yeah.
And you just start writing. Mm-hmm. And often after a certain period, you look back on what you wrote.
Yeah.
And it's not like you were sitting down and thinking, okay, I'm going to write about this now.
Right.
Yeah.
But then after a while, you read it and you're like, now I get what it's all about and I understand myself better now. It is storytelling, but not deliberate storytelling.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to sort of, I used to be on the first record, it used to be very cryptic on the second too.
Mm. Yeah.
And with the music that we're writing now, I like being a little less cryptic so that it's still open to like a big interpretation.
Yeah.
And anyone can think or feel or whatever, what something totally different than what I was when I was writing it. But that it's a bit more, I don't know, I just like doing that more now. So I'm doing that more.
Yeah, was it hard to shift into like that mindset of being like, okay, I'm not going to be
a mystery man.
Yeah, I'm not going to be a mystery. I'm not going to be as secretive with what I'm writing about.
I don't know. It's more open to yourself too. So that's that can be difficult, but it is nice.
Yeah.
I think you're still a mystery man.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's also kind of like part of growing up a little bit where you like get more comfortable and confident in yourself where you're like, oh, okay, like these things I'm going through, I'm cool with writing about. Whereas before it might be like really scary.
Yeah, that is a bit, but I don't know if it was necessarily scary, but it's just not understanding yourself too much yet.
Yeah.
So then when you start doing that more, everything becomes a bit more clear. So then automatically you start writing more focused.
Yeah.
I think. That's not on purpose. Nothing of that is really on purpose. It's just that happens.
Yeah.
How do you feel like the new music you're working on is different from what you've done in the past?
It's more soul, I think.
Soul,
Soul, like genre?
No, there is more soul genre in it, but it is more there.
Like
and it's
heart
more,
and passion?
How do you say it? It's more blues. And there's more blues, there's more soul, there's more like desert-ish.
I think it's more us. I do think so.
We don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Like personally or like as a band?
Like as a band we work like, I don't know how to say it, but
how would you say it in Dutch?
Ja, dat we er allemaal gewoon heel hard op onze eigen manier aan hebben gewerkt of zo. Yeah. En dat samen is gekomen tot echt ons eigen.
Everyone has like everyone is very different. All the four of us are very different.
Mm-hmm.
Very different persons, very different backgrounds. Well, we love part of the same music.
Yeah.
But everyone loves part of the same music, but we have very, like Matthew loves Toto.
Jonathan makes and listens to a lot of techno.
Okay.
So, but with the music that we've been working on lately, we've embraced all that without any boundaries or whatever. So I think that's what you mean. That's what you mean with just us. That's really not let yourself be constricted by all.
Yeah, I think that's really cool because like Jenna and I have talked a lot about how like music genres is starting to feel like less of a thing nowadays because so many people come from so many different backgrounds and they're combining so many different things where you're listening to something and you're like, I know they like rock music, but they also maybe like pop and like all these other things where genres starting to not mean anything as much. And so a band can still be a rock band, but also play kind of bluesy music and like have all these other sounds in their music.
And it was a very nice atmosphere
at,
because like the the second album, I did like a lot of things I knew I can.
Yeah.
So like simple.
Yeah. So you've been pushing yourself more.
Yeah. Now I was like doing weird stuff. Weird stuff.
Hot time. Yeah. The second album was less of everything.
Yeah.
And now it was less good.
More. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, I feel like your band has kind of been in an interesting position because, like you said, you have played like to 40,000 people and you have played to like a room of two. But I mean, what was your experience like as you started playing shows? What was your experience with kind of navigating the relationship with fans as far as like even just being on stage? Like, you said the energy exchange with people in the crowd, and then like, do people come up to you afterwards and have conversations with you? And because you've kind of seen this at like multiple different scales.
Yeah, people do. But
yeah, well, it's especially amazing that you see like three people, and then the next show you see them again.
Yeah.
And now it's like three, four rows.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
You'll be there, and we have like you are always at the merch. At the merchandise, to speak to everyone, and that's really cool. That you don't see that as much in the Netherlands. I don't know how it works.
Oh, really? I feel like in America, or like America and England, I feel like it's common to like talk to the band like after like meet them, all this stuff.
We always do that.
Yeah.
And also in the Netherlands, the show we did in the Netherlands before we left was just our own show with 1,500 people, and then it takes like 1.5 or 2 hours, but that's.
Do they all come meet you?
Well, a lot of them do.
Wow.
Yeah.
And do you think that's because it's so abnormal? Like for artists?
I don't know. It's just, I honestly don't know that. It's not, it's less common,
yeah.
But I don't think that's the reason. I honestly don't know.
maybe people are just like excited to have like an exciting
people are excited,
like there's a moment they feel like there's a moment, like people are excited, like they feel like there's a moment in like rock music in the Netherlands that they haven't necessarily gotten to like participate in before.
They want to come by and say something, and it's fun. And as you said, there is a very very much growing group of people who is following like everywhere.
That's really cool.
Like those two people that just came by, they are probably like from there too. I don't know. And with a lot of them, we also just you get to know each other a little bit. That's cool.
Yeah.
And well, since it started, well, as I said, the first shows were with Youngblood, and that was just weird because we didn't do that was the first show as the Vices, and all those people, his fans are really like they are really committed. I think. But we never experienced that. So from the first show on, we had like a group of people who was there.
Yeah.
And that was weird in the beginning.
Yeah.
To sort of see that. But it is something beautiful to like do something. To do music together is something.
Yeah.
And then also with the people who are there, that is something beautiful.
Yeah.
That relationship is something good too, I think.
We sometimes let them make our merch.
That's cool. Sometimes we like people send us designs and all, and then we... because sometimes people do that, we now have this thing that they can send their merch designs, and then we will make some of them will become actual merch, and then the profit goes to them, and they have like they are like visual artists, so that they have our audience to present their art.
That's really cool. Yeah. I mean, I saw also you did kind of a festival of sorts.
Yeah.
And you invited bands to play with you. So I don't know. What I'm getting from you is that, like, I feel like you guys really enjoy celebrating arts and music with other people, like, whether it's other bands or fans or whatnot.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we always just wanted to do a festival where you could make it a perfect night in your life.
I love that.
So, it's like your birthday, like your perfect birthday party.
That's what I say. It's like our birthday.
What would you do if it was your birthday party festival lineup?
Oh wow, thank you so much.
Yeah, but then because we're all so different, there are various different. Like you came up with the idea of a jazz cafe in there.
Oh, cool.
I love skateboarding, so we built a skate ramp on the festival.
Nice.
Jonathan loves film. We got like old cartoon films.
Oh wow,
so we
that's
have a cinema
cool.
in there with
that's
all that.
So cool.
But also genre wise, this year it goes from weird British rap to like the psy kind of music from Kari Kari to
Stone.
Garage Stone. Yeah, it's
that's
it goes
so
cool.
Like bands from maybe all over Europe and England a little bit too.
Yeah, but also from the US, from everywhere.
Oh really?
Yeah,
the US.
Last
Whoa.
Time we had the Murlocs, they're from
King Gizzard.
Oh
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wait, really?
That's really cool. That's crazy.
Like, part of King Gizzard has a different band called the Murlocs.
Oh.
And they, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, man, I'll just say damn. Sorry. That's crazy. That's so cool.
That's really cool. I love that.
Like, and it's fun because it also is something we do it in the Netherlands, but also in England and Belgium and Germany.
Whoa.
And those.
Like, okay, we'll come next time.
Let's get it.
Let's get it. Yeah.
We'll go.
Yeah, that would be cool.
In talking about like your guys' rock music influences and all that kind of stuff, when you think about rock music and like the 80s and 90s, like 60s, 70s, like every era, you kind of only had access to the rock stars through magazines and newspapers and that kind of stuff. And you didn't know anything about them except for that. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, with like social media and just all of this access to rock stars, it's kind of changed like what the idea of like a rock star is and what it can be. Where kind of like at the same time, rock stars maybe don't exist in the same way, they exist in a new way, and like anybody of any size can be viewed as a rock star. So for y'all, like, do you think that rock stars can exist in the same way they used to, or do you think it's just a whole new thing?
I don't mind too much about that. Like, I don't think it can exist, like, in... There's no real answer to give about that, because you just don't know how things could change like this.
Yeah.
But right now, the world isn't like that. Like, right now, the biggest rock star is probably Harry Styles.
Yeah.
And that's not...
the idea of a rock star than what once was.
The idea of a rock star used to be all about, like, this authentic
sex, drugs, rock and roll.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and authenticity was important with that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a weird concept. And I don't think it's like that anymore, but it doesn't... I don't think to be like a rock star that it used to be, I think. We don't really want to be that, I think. So I don't think about or mind about that too much.
I think every rock star wants to make music.
Yeah.
And that's their top priority. Everything what comes by, like social media, sex, drugs and rock and roll, is all not important. Everyone makes music.
That's perfect. That's true.
Yeah, I think that's so real.
I don't think any one of those, like, what is the biggest rock star ever?
Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
Okay, they kind of did want to be that. I want to say, like, Jimi Hendrix, did he want to be what he became? I don't know.
It didn't
really seem like that was all that important.
Yeah. You think like the Stones have changed with the time?
Yeah, that's true.
And I think
maybe they didn't start like that.
Yeah. But I
think like part of the lifestyle back then, like 60s, 70s, was like so much like music and partying went so hand in hand. Whereas I feel like now...
I think they were eating a lot better.
Back then.
Because you don't have all the food, fast food.
So I don't know if they were eating at all.
Very much
rushed the other day, and then you eat very healthy the next day.
Maybe
they just were eating stuff up their nose, maybe.
How was that guy called again? From the band? The big guy who did a lot of drugs, smelled very bad.
Yeah.
I didn't think he ate very healthy.
No, he didn't.
No, but you're probably right.
Okay. There was just more a salad available.
Yeah. Everywhere you go. The green rooms were salad only.
I think I go for the quesadillas.
Last question that we'd like to ever ask everyone. The ethos of Name Three Songs, our podcast, is to empower fangirls. And we think it's important to be critical consumers, but also celebrate what we love. So what are you guys fangirls of?
What are we fangirls
on? What for the past like 3 months have you been so obsessed with that everybody you hang out with is like, can you shut up about it? And you're like, no, this is all I think about, all I care about, nothing else matters.
It doesn't have to be just music, it can be anything.
I used to have that more when I was younger, but I love Michael Kiwanuka now.
Who's that?
Michael Kiwanuka is a British soul rock musician. And he is amazing. He is really amazing. So much that I want to do a live record with a song of him on it. So yeah.
I think I'm obsessed with smoking.
So, what an honest man.
So we have to stop quite a lot because I have to smoke a cigarette.
Fan girl of tobacco. We just
really love tobacco.
No, but other than that, I have like a really weird taste of music right now.
Uh-huh.
I have like Mount Kimby and...
you got Sparkle Horse now too.
And Sparkle Horse and like a very, very weird shit.
Stuff.
I'm listening to very weird stuff.
Okay.
So I don't think you don't let me on my on the radio again.
Yeah.
No, but you've been fangirling like Sparkle Horse and Danger Mouse. You've been like, listen to this.
Yeah. That's quite for a few weeks I've listened to that.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
You have the aux cord has been revoked from your you can't play music anymore.
No, not that kind of music.
In the car, you can't play music anymore.
Your band. All right, Flores, Simon, it's been great talking to you guys. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, too.
I wish we could do all interviews together in person.
I'm obsessed with them. I love them so much. They're so cool. Like, they've done so much in such a short span of time, and they're just, like, extremely good musicians.
I know, and their energy on stage, in person, just talking to them, every second of their energy is like infectious.
Yes.
And like listening to them talk about music, I feel very similar to like when you and I sit and just talk about music and how it's like so fun for us to discover new artists and get to talk to them. And Flores and Simon, it's like them discovering new artists and getting to have them open for them at shows and like play their festival and all that stuff. And I'm like, wow. I love that we are coming together with an obsession of like finding new music and sharing it with the world.
Yeah, no, they clearly just like love music, like from a very pure place, and like want to share that with people and want to enjoy it with people, and just like are generally always having a good time. Like, I don't know if they've ever had a bad day in their lives.
Literally though, because like hearing them like talking with them about like the idea of like it doesn't matter if we're playing for two people or playing for 40,000 people, like we always want to play our best show possible and put on a rock show for everybody and like exist within the energy exchange, like of the band performing and the fans enjoying it. And like, I just love that so much because I feel like with how so much of music has moved online, like you don't hear people talk this passionately about the live shows as much anymore. And I'm like, oh my God, I share in this passion for live music with this band as well.
They also just shred. They shred
so hard.
They're just like very fun to watch. All around a great time. Highly recommend listening to their music. Highly recommend going to check out a show. Follow them on Instagram. And with all that being said, thanks for getting candy with us and the Vices. This has been Sarah and Jenna from Name Three Songs.
And to get your pop culture fix, you can listen to new episodes of Name Three Songs podcast every Wednesday.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.